Psalm chapter 1, verse 1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. The first verse there says, blessed is the man. I want to talk to us tonight about how to be blessed. How to be blessed. A lot of times I'll make the statement, I'm not going to be long in preaching. I don't plan to be long in preaching, but I do feel like God's given me something, and I want to do it justice. And so let's let the Lord just talk to us. Amen. Would you let God speak to your heart tonight? Have your way, Lord. Have your way in us. Do what you want to in us, Lord. I pray that you would move in this church. I pray that you would call us, direct us forward. Lord, I praise you for what we feel in the house, for the liberty that is here tonight, for the victory that you are bringing to every life and situation. We give you all the glory and honor and praise. Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise you, God. Praise you, Lord. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated tonight. What does it mean to be blessed? What does it mean to be blessed? There's a lot of preaching out there about the blessings of God. And you'll hear preaching about how Christians should be blessed, living the blessed life. We're to be the head and not the tail. Too blessed to be stressed. You ever heard that one? But what does it really mean to be blessed? Many times we hear of blessings in connection with possessions or position or power. Are people blessed because of the nice car they drive or a beautiful home they live in, a position they hold, or because of a large bank account? Is that what it means to be blessed? If someone does not have many material things, does it mean that they're not blessed? What does it really mean to be blessed? It depends on our perspective. How are we looking at it? Through human self-interest, or are we looking from God's perspective? And when we consider being blessed from the perspective of our flesh, we might say, well, if my family is doing good, and I'm blessed. If my bank account is full, well, I'm blessed. If my car runs good, I'm blessed. If I have more than enough left over at the end of the month, I'm blessed. But what about when our family is not well? And what about when our bank account is not full? And what if our car is not running good? And what if we don't have more than enough at the end of the month? Does that mean we're not blessed? That perspective based on materialism can get us into trouble. It can cause people who are truly, truly so very blessed to believe that they're not. And it can cause others who are truly not blessed to falsely believe that they've arrived at the blessed life. But what does the Word of God say about it? What does it mean to be blessed according to God's word? From this perspective, blessing is not determined by what we have, but by whom we have. Hallelujah. The blessed life is not defined by how much stuff we have, but by having the right relationship with God in heaven. That's the blessed life. We read what Jesus said about this in Luke chapter 12, verse 15. And he said unto them, take heed and beware of covetousness. For a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. And he spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. And he said, this will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater. And there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. God forbid we spend our life chasing after the wrong things and neglect what true blessings are all about. Oh, I tell you, it's easy to get caught up in the materialism of this world, to want our share of stuff and to keep up with everything else, everyone else on the neighborhood block, and to have the latest and greatest, but at what cost today? How many have made it as far as this world sees it to only lose their soul? How many have climbed that ladder of success in life only to find out that they had lost the things that are truly important? We cannot be caught up in the materialistic worldview of this society. It's leading people down a dead-end road. But I want to tell you tonight, if we will search the Word of God, we can learn what God's definition of a blessed life is. And we can find out what it means to truly, truly be blessed. Hallelujah. The first verse of our text, Psalms 101, says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. First of all, if we want to be blessed, we need to see what those who are blessed do not do. They do not walk in the counsel of the ungodly. Some translations of the Bible say it this way: happy is the one who doesn't go by the advice of the wicked. There's so many voices out there in the world today. They will advise and counsel anyone who will listen. But we better not just follow any old voice. Come on, what are the voices that we are allowing to speak into our life? Too many times people are listening. They're only listening to the voices that promise blessings as this world sees it. They forget that true blessings are not from this world. Oh, maybe they're saying what feels good to their flesh, but we better be careful. It may justify what we desire after, but if it's following the advice of the ungodly, if we want to know how to truly be blessed, the first thing is we cannot follow the advice of those who are wicked. One of the most serious examples of this in the Bible was when Solomon's son, Rehoboam, he listened to the wrong advice. Solomon died and his son Rehoboam became king. Solomon was a great king, but he had raised taxes on the people so very high, and they wanted relief. And so they offered allegiance to Rehoboam if he would agree to do this. And Rehoboam, he consulted with the elders that had advised his father Solomon, and they said, it's a good idea. Reading in 1 Kings 12:7, and they spake unto him, saying, if thou wilt be a servant unto this people this day, and wilt serve them and answer them and speak good words to them, then they will be thy servants forever. But he forsook the counsel of the old men which they had given him, and consulted with the young men that were grown up with him and which stood before him. It's interesting to see how he forsook the advice of the elders before he ever even consulted with the young men. He didn't like what the elders said, so he went looking for different advice. And that's kind of a common thing today. It's called advice shopping. You know, you just keep going around asking different people for advice until you finally find somebody that tells you what you want to hear. That's an ungodly way to get counsel. We all need to have godly people in our life that we can trust to tell us some things that, well, we may not want to hear it, but we need to hear it. Come on, somebody. Those new advisors, they told Rehoboam what he wanted to hear, and he went out and he made it even harder for the people. He said, "My father, yeah, I know he made your burden heavy, but I'm going to make it even heavier." He said, "My father beat you with whips. I'm going to beat you with scorpions." And that's when the kingdom of Israel was divided. As the 10 northern tribes, they rejected Solomon's son as king, and they chose another king. We need godly counsel in our life. If we look hard enough, if we search hard enough, we can find somebody who will tell us what we want to hear. But oh, for a certain sound. Oh, for somebody that will speak a word of God to our life. For somebody that'll talk to us about what's the will of God for this situation. For somebody that'll call us out when we're headed wrong. For somebody that'll pray and they'll seek the will of God for us. Come on, that's what we need. We've got to have some godly counsel. We've got to have some wise counsel. As a pastor, I'm really, I guess, one of the last people that people come to for counsel sometimes. And hey, you know what? I'm not, whatever color car you want to buy, go ahead. Okay, I'm not concerned about that. And if you want to, just you know, there's some things I don't have to be involved in. But sometimes there's some things you think people would talk to the pastor a little bit. But so many times it's, well, pastor, I want to kind of let you know what I'm going to be doing. Instead of, well, I've got some things I need you to help me pray about. And then it is so sad sometimes to see the effects of following the wrong advice. And if we want to be blessed, truly blessed, we cannot follow ungodly counsel. Why would we want to listen to somebody who does not pray and then take their advice? Why would we want to pull up somebody on YouTube and just because they have a following there, we think, well, maybe they've received a word of God for me about some decision we've got to make. But that person has no clue who we are. They've never prayed for us. They don't know our situation. They're just trying to get a lot of views. And when we've made up our mind and we reject godly counsel, we go advice shopping and try to find somebody to tell us what we want to hear. That is not the way to the blessed life. Psalm 1 and 1 again. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners. Sinners have a path where they stand. And we don't belong on that path. That's no place for a Christian. We are not going the same way. If we don't want to end up where sinners are going, then we need to get off the path of sinners. I want to tell somebody here tonight, direction matters. Direction matters. Lot set up his tent facing Sodom. God was not pleased with him, but God allowed him to do what he was doing, and direction matters. Lot set up his tent facing Sodom. It wasn't long till he was in Sodom. God had to go deliver him out of Sodom, but Lot's wife, she looked back and she became a pillar of salt. Direction matters. Direction matters. Proverbs 14 and 12, there is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. A small shift in our direction can lead to a drastic change in where we end up. The enemy doesn't always just try to stop us. Oh no, sometimes he says, well, maybe I can just steer him just a little out of the way. And if he can change our direction, he'll be able to change our outcome. But here's the thing, it can seem right. It can feel right. There is a way that seems right to a man, but it ends in death. What seems right to our flesh, it can lead to destruction. What feels right can be dangerous. Because I tell you what, feelings can fluctuate. And what we felt yesterday might not be what we feel today, and what we feel next week might be totally different. We can't be led by feelings. Hallelujah. And I want to tell you, culture changes. There's some things about our culture today that it's totally different than it was 5 years ago. But just wait another five. It'll change completely. It'll be something totally different. Society shifts. Culture changes. Feelings fluctuate. But truth does not move. Hallelujah. Truth does not move. Somebody needs to buy the truth and sell it not. You need to say, I'm not going to live my life according to shifting sands of this world, but I'm going to stick to the word of God. I'm going to live according to the commands that God has given me in his word. Direction matters. Are we moving closer to God or further away? I want to ask all of us to do something here tonight. If we look at our life today compared to 1 year ago, are we praying more now or less? Are we reading our Bible more or less? Are we more submitted to the plan of God in our life or less? Are we serving more or less? What direction are we going in? If we're not moving in the right direction, we can't just expect it to change if we don't do something different. If we want to be blessed, we can't be in the way of sinners. We can't be on the same path as them and expect to go somewhere different. We better get on the path Isaiah talked about. He said it's a highway called the way of holiness. Hallelujah. There's a way that God has. I want to seek the way of God. I want to seek the path that God has for us. Psalm 1:1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. Look at that third step there. They follow the advice of the wicked. They stand around with sinners, and then they sit in the seat of the scornful. They join in with those that scorn and mock. Some people love to criticize everything there is to do with the things of God. Everything the church tries to do, everything the pastor does, everything about the people of God. You know, if we want to do anything for God, we just better be prepared that we're going to have scorners and mockers. There's going to be criticism. The enemy doesn't fight those he's not worried about. But people will sit back and they will criticize and pick everything apart. And, you know, they're not really doing anything themselves, but they know what everybody else needs to do. You'd think that they'd have a few things together themselves, but usually they've got more problems than you can count. But they've got the answer for everybody else. Maybe they try to make themselves feel better by pointing out everybody else's issues. But what they're really doing is keeping themselves from the blessings of God in their life. When others are putting people down, I'm going to say it's easy to join in. It's easy. It's like, oh, okay, well, I want to talk about this too. And trust me, we all have stuff that we could criticize if we want to. But we don't want to be caught sitting in the seat of the scornful. In the last year, I have seen more scorners and mockers about the church on social media than I think I've ever seen before. There are actually groups of people that had made it their entire life's business to dedicate themselves to researching every negative thing there is about churches and pastors and then posting it in the most unfavorable light that they can on social media. And you've probably seen some of that too. And then they go and hide behind their anonymous pages, and they block anyone who dares to disagree with them. What they don't tell you is that they've already made the journey from following the advice of the wicked, standing around with sinners, And now they're sitting in the seat of the scornful. And hey, maybe they were hurt. Maybe they were mistreated. And from somebody in the church, I understand stuff like that happens, but it's no reason to miss heaven. Praise the Lord. Now here's the thing. When there are problems in the church, they got to be dealt with. Prayerfully dealt with. But we can't let things, because people are imperfect, we can't let those imperfections in people create such bitterness in us that we join in with the scorners and the mockers. Hallelujah. Have you prayed about it? Have you prayed about it before you post about it? I can't tell you how many times I had something good. I was about to, maybe I ought to pray. Maybe I ought to pray about these people that I don't even know, and I'm about to just, you know. Usually after I pray, I'm like, oh, God, I got so much to work on me. I don't have time to worry about them. Sometime back, I got word of, I have some things in my notes that are, it says optional. I'm going with it, I guess. Sometime back, I got word of somebody that was sitting in the seat of the scornful, and apparently they'd been sitting there for some time because it started affecting more and more. I got word of this one and that one being affected, poisoned by it. And they were upset about this or that, and the pastor, you know, didn't do this or did do that. Or if that is true, the place to bring that up is not in the seat of the scornful, but in a prayer closet somewhere. Humbling ourselves before God and praying His will over our will. Do we not think that God can't work stuff out? Do we not think that God's in control of everything, and He sees and He knows, and He sees what the best plan is forward? Come on, I'm preaching to somebody right here tonight. You may have some stuff that it's not all perfect in your life, but when you go to the Lord in prayer and you say, God, I don't know what to do, and I don't like how I'm being treated, and I don't see this just how it's coming about, but Lord, I'm going to trust You, and I'm going to give it to You, and I'm going to lay it on the altar, and I don't want bitterness to get a hold of me. If it's somebody else, God can move. But if it's us, God can move. When we go to prayer, oh, come on. But there's a problem when we start to take it into our own hands and we start trying to speak about it with men, and we're trying to influence people to come over to our side and feel sorry for us and how we've been mistreated and all of this. We end up sitting in the seat of the scornful. And I want to tell you, when that scorn gets a hold of you, when that mocking gets a hold of you, when that spirit of criticism gets a hold of you, it doesn't just stop in one little area of your life. It starts eating away at everything. And not only at us, but it starts affecting our kids, and it starts affecting our loved ones, and it starts affecting our ministry, and it starts affecting our calling. And God says, I can't use you because you're a bitter root. And if I start moving through you, you're going to impact others and affect others in the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. Come on, how can we be blessed? We better make sure, first of all, I'm not blocking the blessings of God. I've got to make sure that I'm not walking in the counsel of the ungodly and standing in the way of sinners and sitting in the seat of the scornful. Hallelujah. What is it that blessed people do? Psalm 1 and 2, but His delight is in the law of the Lord, and in His law doth He meditate day and night. Psalm 119 and 16 says, I will delight myself in Thy statutes. I will not forget Thy word. Verse 24, thy testimonies also are my delight and my counselors. Verse 47, and I will delight myself in thy commandments which I have loved. Verse 105, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Oh, so you want to be blessed? You want the blessings of God? Somebody needs to get in the word. Come on, somebody needs to get in the word. You need to go get your Bible off of that shelf or out of that drawer somewhere, and you need to dust it off, and you need to open it back up, and you need to start letting God's word shine in your life. Come on, that's what blessed people do. Hallelujah, hallelujah. His delight is in the law of the Lord. That word delight means to have pleasure in. Those who are blessed, they are pleased by the law of God. They find pleasure reading and studying and memorizing and quoting and thinking about the word of God. So much so that they obey the word of God. I want to tell you, God's laws were not written to make us miserable. They're not written to make us miss out on something good in life. No, the word of God is written by a loving father who cares about his children and wants their life to be blessed. And when we understand that and we start living according to these principles, it was not written to keep us from something. It was to set us up for something. When we understand that, we'll start stepping into the blessings of God in our life. Hallelujah. Read this with me, Psalm 19 and 7. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. I believe it was Brother Mark Morgan that told the story of Sister Chenault from Oklahoma, who was a great prayer warrior, great woman of God, but she went through this season of life where she began to read the Word of God just more and more and more, and she developed this appetite that could not be satisfied. And she'd be in bed next to her husband at night under the covers with a flashlight. It was back before you had Bible phone apps, you know, reading her Bible there. One night while she was reading, she described how it was like something popped in her mouth and she could taste honey. Isn't that awesome? Blessed is the man who finds delight in the Word of God. The Word of God is sharp, though. It will cut. Hebrews 4:12, for the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. The word of God will work on us. When someone isn't reading the word of God, their flesh is in control. They may act spiritual. They may want everybody to think that everything's fine, but it's not, because they are missing the sharp word of God that reaches in us where nothing else will, and it cuts to the deepest place in our soul, in our spirit. But oh, when they delight in the word of God, that's how to be blessed. That's how to be blessed. They meditate on the word of God. To meditate means to muse, to think on, to go over and over. It's the study of God's word and the thinking about God's word for the purpose of obeying it. To meditate on the scriptures involves reading and going over those scriptures over and over and over again, searching for every possible benefit from them. Joshua 1 and 8 says, the book of the law, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. That's how to be blessed. 1 Timothy 4:15, meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt save both thyself and them that hear thee. James 1:22, but be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh unto the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. You want to be blessed? Be a doer of the word. Hallelujah. Would you stand with me in closing tonight? Oh, the benefits of living a life that is blessed. Those benefits are too many to count. The rewards of this life, I'm going to tell you, they can't be found anywhere else. It's a good life living for the Lord. Come on, it's a good life living for God. Hallelujah. It's the best life. I want to tell you, this is the best thing going. People just don't know what they're missing. People don't realize all of the blessings of the Lord when they learn to follow His word. Look what our text says, Psalm 1 and 3. It says, and he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. To be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. Not a wild tree. Not a tree that just kind of sprung up somewhere, just kind of appeared. No, this tree has purpose. It was one that was planted for a reason. Somebody took some thought and they purposely planted it by the water's edge because its position near the river guarantees it's going to last. So it is with someone who is blessed of God. There's a stability to their life that you just can't find without God's blessings. When I think of friends that we have in the world, and I'm not trying to, you know, brag or anything, but humbly, you just compare lives. They're missing stability. Everything in this world is fluid. It's changing. It's shifting sand. But the things of God, you can build on that. The last part of Isaiah 61 and 3 says that they may be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. You're finding yourself in an unstable situation. It just seems like, I don't have any stability. I don't have anything to, I'm just in trouble. I'm just, everything's shifting. And I'm just, you need to get in the Word of God. You need the blessings of the Lord upon your life. It'll bring a stability like a tree that's planted by the water. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. I want to bring forth fruit. I'm ready to bring forth fruit. Sometimes you got to wait to the right season. But I want to make sure I'm producing fruit, Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah. I want to encourage somebody here tonight. You've been living according to the word of God. You've been faithful. You have trusted the Lord. You have stood on his promises. You have said no to the things of this world. And sometimes you may look and say, well, there's no fruit yet. You just keep doing it. Come on, you keep trusting the Lord. You keep being faithful. I feel like a season of fruitfulness is coming. I feel like a season's about to shift for somebody here tonight. Come on, the blessings of the Lord will not be denied. The blessings of the Lord, come on, His promises are tried and true. There's a season of fruitfulness. I feel it in my soul. Hallelujah. There's a season of fruitfulness for this church. There's a season of fruitfulness for somebody here tonight. You need to receive that and say, Lord, I'm ready. I'm going to keep being faithful. I'm going to keep trusting you. I'm going to keep doing what you called me to do. There's also durability. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. In spite of everything that comes in life, they endure. How are we supposed to make it through trials and tribulation? How did the three Hebrew boys trust God through a fiery furnace? How did Daniel face a lion's den? How could Paul endure a prison cell in Rome waiting for his execution and say, well, I fought a good fight? Their source of strength, it had to be more than just humanity. They were planted by the river of living water. They were near the source of true spiritual dream. Psalm 1, 4 through 6, the ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor the sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. There's a reward waiting for the ungodly. Be like the chaff that the wind drives away, the stone, the dust. It's not going to amount to anything in the end. But we have the recipe for blessing. Hallelujah. If we'll not listen to the counsel of the ungodly, if we will not stand in the way of sinners, if we'll not sit in the seat of the scornful, we will delight in the Word of God and meditate on it in every chance we get. We will be like that strong and fruitful tree planted by the water. Happy is the man. Blessed is the man. I don't have time to finish everything, but I want to tell you this. I asked the internet for quotes from celebrities who had everything from this world but still found themselves unhappy. It's heartbreaking to see some of the quotes. Brad Pitt, from here in Springfield, he said, I had it all. I had success, money, but I was still miserable. Robin Williams, who spent his acting career making people laugh, he said, I think the saddest people try their hardest to make people happy because they know what it's like to feel absolutely worthless. Elvis Presley, despite being called the king, he battled deep dissatisfaction and depression and emptiness behind the scenes. He once said, I'll never be happy. They all missed. They missed what it really means to be blessed. And I want to speak to some young person here tonight that you've got your eyes out there. And you're thinking, oh, if I could just experience that. If I could have what they have, and oh, that looks shiny, and that looks attractive, and that man, that party man, if I could just be like that, if I could just be part of that. And here's celebrities who had every bit of that and more. Most likely you're not going to have that level of money. Most likely you're not going to reach that level of popularity. Most likely you're not going to experience all of the world that they got to experience. They had it all according to this world, but they were not blessed. They were miserable. They were miserable. True blessing is not determined by what we have, but by whom we have. The blessed life is not defined by how much stuff we got, but by having the right relationship with God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. There are some things that are happening. I feel there's a season that's shifting. I feel like there's momentum. There's great things that are coming to pass. I don't want somebody here tonight to give up on the blessings of God. I don't want you to miss the miracles. I don't want you to miss the revival. I don't want you to miss what God is doing and how he's working. But I want to challenge you tonight. Get in the Word of God. Read Psalm chapter 1. Start applying that. Meditate about that. Apply it to your life. Let God work and let God bless you. In the name of Jesus, Lord, I pray that you would minister to every person here tonight. I pray that you would work in a mighty way. Lord, I know you're preparing us. I know you're getting us ready. I know you're moving and working behind the scenes. We don't even know all that you're doing, God, all you're bringing to pass. I pray, Lord, that you would help us to apply your word, God. Help us to seek this with everything we've got. I pray that you would let there be a boldness come over this church, Lord, that we could walk in the favor that you have given us, that we could receive the blessings that you want to pour out in us. Don't let us do something, God, that would keep us from your blessings. Don't let us do something, Lord, that would cause us to miss out on how you want to move through us. But have your way, Lord. Have your way. Have your way. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Is anybody, would you just come and just lift your hands and in victory here tonight say, I'm going to do this. I'm going to have the blessed life that God has promised me. I'm going to live according to the word of God. Come, somebody make up your heart right now. Make up your mind right now. I'm going to live for God. I'm going to live for God. Come on. I'm going to live for God. As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord.